money and church you. Go whatever. I'm not talking about cash, cars, and cribs. I'm not talking about an elaborate lifestyle. What I'm talking about is your purpose. And in order to do what God has called you to do, you need resources to do it, because you have dreams in your heart. And I want you to imagine what life could be like if you see God cause a revival to happen in the earth through you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that today, all over this room, we are in different spectrums. Somebody's believing you to pay their rent and mortgage or to get out of debt. On the other side, somebody is believing you on where should I invest the resources you've given me. And somebody just looking to make a difference. They want to change the course of their family and their life. And Father, I thank you now that things are going to change. They're going to shift through us in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Do me a favor, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it, your face should surely show it. Can you smile and say amen? Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Let's go. Matthew 6, 31. Here's a springboard for the message today that we're going to use to preach the sermon. It says, do not worry then. We can go home right there. Because many of us in here are stressed out. You're worried. You're concerned about how's this going to work out. But I want to tell you to chill, relax, whatever the word is today, and let you know that God's going to handle things on your behalf. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? Doesn't that sound like what we ask every day? I know I do. What are we going to eat? I'm concerned with that. I like good food. What are we going to drink? Some of you concerned with that. What are we going to wear? You can sit in front of a closet full of clothes and say, I don't have a thing to wear. Anybody ever experienced that before? Not you, but you've seen somebody else do that? Yeah. Verse 32 says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But he says this. Here's the antidote. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It says, so do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has its trouble of its own. I want you to be in the moment today, right now. If you give me 20 to 25 minutes, if you could be in the room. Tomorrow's got its troubles. I know you could be concerned about work, your kids. But if you could be in the moment right now, I guarantee you God's going to flood your life with something that you absolutely need. Here's the thing about it. When we experience economic poverty causes crime to be rampant, drug use and abuse. There's a decrease in the quality of life that people see. Opportunities are small when there is economic poverty, and the quality of life is low. You think about it, and when there's economic poverty, it's not that finances, it's not that the economy isn't booming for all, it's just booming for some. And there's a great percentage of the population that does not experience that. When you're experiencing economic poverty, fear's rampant. People do not spend out of fear of, am I going to have something left over? People don't give benevolently. They don't give to nonprofits. You don't give to ministries. You don't really look out. You begin to really look out for me, myself, and I when you are in an economic poverty situation. You guys remember a few years ago, I believe it was 2008, the president was George W. Bush Jr., and he came up with this stimulus package because of the economy was in such a horrible place. He gave up a tax break, I think, off the first percentage of your income. And then many of you experienced this. Singles, you got an extra return of about $600 that year. Married couples, you got a return of how much? Y'all remember? Yeah, somebody, they know right full well. $1,200 hit your house. And then for those on disability and Social Security, he sent extra money there. The hopes of this stimulus package was this, not that you would save it. The hope was that you would spend it to boost the economy so that things would get flowing again. I got an idea for you today. If you go to my next slide, here's the main idea for my sermon today. Economic revival is about to hit your house so that God can provide a stimulus package to the earth through your life's purpose. Is anybody working a hostile work situation where nobody smiles and it's just cantankerous in there? You are God's stimulus package for your job. You're going to go in there with a smile, and anointing for smiling is going to hit your house. It's going to hit your job. Come on, y'all believe, y'all start it right now. Let's just start smiling. I don't care. In your city, you are God's stimulus package. Anybody believe in God for salvation for your family? Anybody believe in God for somebody to get saved in your family? You are God's stimulus package for salvation in your family. Anybody want to see some things turn around in your community? You're tired of things, the opioid crisis, all poverty and all these things. Do you not know that you are God's stimulus package for that community? God is about to flood your life. How is God going to do it? He's going to flood your life with resources. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to give you training and development. He's going to give you mercy and grace in the name of Jesus. Anybody in here believe in God to help you with your, to pay off your student loan debt? If you believe in God, can you do me a favor? Lift your hand right now. I don't believe that God's going to cancel it because I believe you owe it. We got to pay it. No, I'm serious. I believe that God's going to flood your house. Somebody owe you money. You want them to pay you? I'm believing God's going to flood your life with resources. Watch this. You're going to pay off your debt. Here's the reason why. You got a work to do. I told God I can't really work. When you're stressed out in debt, you're not free to do everything that God has called you to do. I told God I can't serve you if I'm sick. I don't have my energy. I need you to heal my body because there's a work to do. There's people that need to be saved. And when you're in debt, all you're consumed with is paying this and paying that. And there's a world out there that your purpose needs to go conquer. God's going to do it for you in the name of Jesus. God's going to invade the earth. Through heaven, through you. You are God's plan to do a phenomenal thing here in the earth. Let me give you a couple of principles for economic revival. The first thing is this. Spiritual renewal is always followed by economic revival. The Bible says this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The antidote for worry is seeking first the kingdom of God. And when God renews your spirit, he sets your spirit on fire. He then sends resources in your life for you to accomplish what he's called you to do. There is nothing worse than getting things before you're ready to get them. When you experience success that is a greater level than your maturity, it has the ability to crush you. When you get things before you're ready to handle it, God says it has the ability to crush you. He said, I want you to seek me first because the mantle of favor, there's grace that's on your life. Success is all over you, and I want you to know how to handle success. Look at your neighbor and say, can you stand to be blessed? Here's what happens when you seek God. You ever heard John the Baptist? John the Baptist would say things like this. He'd say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In order to experience the kingdom of God, the first thing you have to do is repent. And repenting is simple. God, I am sorry. I'm in debt because I got ahead of you and I could not wait on your timing. God, I did things my way. I took a good idea that was not a God idea. And I got myself in this situation and I need revival to get me out of this situation right here. Or simply this, God, I've not done things your way. I got caught up in myself. Anybody ever got caught up in yourself before? And God, I need you to send revival to my spirit. When you do this, you get a revelation of what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom is God's ways of doing things. Can I give you a couple examples of what the kingdom looks like? The kingdom has a king and it has a lord. The king is this. It's the person that rules. What most of us are used to in a democratic society is we have a president. You elect the president in every 4 years. And if you don't like them, you can vote them out. You have a mayor. You elect them in. Here's the thing about God. He runs, his kingship is a theocracy. You can't vote him out because you didn't vote him in. His word is bond. Anybody ought to be glad about that? What he says is going to come to pass. They were singing it. God runs a theocracy. He says it's my way or the highway, but the reality is he said, trust me, my way is better than your way can ever be. Then there is also a Lord. He said, Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of what? I got a question. How many of you have ever rented in here before? Anybody ever rented in here before? How many of you that have rented have owned something before? Let me ask you a question. When you were renting, when something broke, what's the first thing you did? Oh, you call a landlord. You didn't wait 2 days. You didn't wait 3 days. When you are owning, it's a whole different game than when you're renting. Oh, when you're renting, you see a little leak coming down. Oh, we got to get these folks in here. Your door act like you don't it ain't gonna act right. You calling people in, but when you're owning, oh, you'll pray for about 3 days. Your air conditioner act up. You don't need no faith. Y'all need to call the property manager. They're coming here. But when you're owning, you'll take some oil and God, I lay hands on the compressor. You will work in the name. It's a different game when you own something. Am I right about that? You're just saying, do you got a cousin or a buddy, somebody down the road that come fix my garage? Why? Because the responsibility is on you. In the kingdom of God, you don't own it, you steward it. That's why when something goes wrong in my life, I can go to the Father. They sing a song when I was growing up, Jesus on the main line. tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. If you need your body healed, tell him what you want. If you need your soul saved, yeah, y'all, we grew up in that church. Call him up, and some of you are like, I have no idea what that song is. It's all right. Just come along with me. But here's the reality is this. When you understand that he is Lord, here's the challenge with many of us. We've not surrendered our whole life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You may have let him, God, he's the Lord. Okay, God, I'm saved, but is he the Lord of your career? Is he the Lord of your finances? Is he the Lord of your attitude? If he's the Lord of every area of your life, either he's Lord of everything or he's Lord of nothing at all. Lord means, God, you are in control. You call the shots. I'm going to trust you because here's what I know about Jason Scales. I can get myself in some mess. But you know what I love about God? He turns every mess into a message. He turns every test into a testimony. Anybody know he can do it in here? Not only does every kingdom have a king and a king, but every a king and a lord, but every kingdom has territory. The territory is where the king rules. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. What is this territory in the kingdom? Your family. God is concerned about the salvation and the well-being of your family. He wants to make sure that everything flows right in your family. Anybody got some people you want to see saved in your family? Anybody got some generational cycles you want to see broken? You want to see people stop going to jail, stop doing stupid stuff? You want to see divorce in? You want to see all these things in your family? God's concerned about that too. This church is a part of the kingdom of God. God wants to see this church flourish. He wants to see people running in to be saved and your life built. Land is a part of the kingdom. You know one thing they will never make any more of? Land. God wants you as a kingdom citizen to own. So can you imagine what we could do? Can I just dream for a minute as BFF? Can you imagine what we could do? I drive and I see these hotels and I see people living by the weekend and they're in horrible conditions. Can you imagine if we bought one? And we were able to house people in a true transitional program. And when you got finished, we had something else for you. The church developed its own subdivision where you can now go and we can help you find a job. Not only that, can you imagine being a married couple that when you're coming out, you're trying to say, God, I want to move into a certain level. We could help you save up for your down payment, help you to work towards paying something off where you own something and the church develops that. That's kingdom living. Because you know what this? Y'all looking at me strange, but you know what most people are concerned about? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to send my kid to college? And do you know what God wants you to do? He wants some of you, because it's on your heart, to be able to. How much is your tuition this year? I want you to send this anonymously, but I'm going to send this to the school, and I'm going to pay off your tuition. You're going to Vanderbilt on a full ride. You ain't never going to know who's did it, but God put it in your heart to put somebody through school. You have no idea what God wants to do, but he wants you to dominate territory, and you can't do it if you're in bondage. God wants to send an economic revival into your life. You know what else God is concerned with? Your career. You know what else God is concerned with? Your rest. God wants you to have a vacation. He does. Yeah. At the end of creation on the seventh day, if he rested, don't you think you can? Oh, God, I don't know if I can believe you for a vacation. You got people around you praying you take a break. You all right in here? Yeah, God wants you to have a break. There are times that God moves on me through a gift of prophecy where I speak into people's life, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And I was preaching at this retreat. And in the middle of preaching, there was a gentleman sitting there. He was a coach at a school, so his life was already busy. And the Lord spoke to me, and in the middle, he said, I want you to tell him this in the middle of your preaching. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, tell him that he's going to get a new set of golf clubs. He looked at me and turned red like, what? I'm about to get some new golf clubs. His wife rolled her eyes, and I could hear her speaking. He already gone anyway. Now you're going to have him gone more. I got all these kids here by myself, and you tell him God going to get him some more golf clubs. And the pastor and the people in there, they got real, real perturbed about it, like, oh, God is not into that stuff. And in the moment, I felt the tension in the room, and the Lord told me to ask him a question. And I'm going to ask you this question. Do you produce better when you are frustrated and tired or when you are fresh? All of us in this room produce better when we are fresh. The people around you wish there was that little browser like there was on your computer. You know how can you refresh your screen? They wish there was one on your forehead so they can just get you out of your funk. God said this, I want to refresh you because there's some fresh ideas inside of you. How many of you can use some rest in this room right now? Not just so you can just go somewhere and sleep for a week, but so you can come back and be the mother, the father, the brother, the worker, whatever you need to be. Somebody say, I need to be refreshed. Imagine this. How would you act if God gave you the resources that you need to walk out your dreams and plans? Do you know how much more you could produce? I grew up and I started cutting hair in high school. And when I cut hair, I didn't know nothing about a whole bunch of clippers. So I went to college and I started cutting hair there. And this guy from Memphis, he said, man, you ain't... He said, you ain't got but one pair of clippers? I said, yeah, that's all I got. I said, I cut a mean fade. He said, you ain't got no trimmers? And he said, I noticed your hand get hot when you cutting clippers. I said, yeah, because I've been cutting them so long, my clippers get hot. He said, you ever heard of Andes? I said, no, not really. How you even spell that? I said, I heard of the mint. He said, he told me about Andes clippers, and he told me about some trimmers. I kid you not. He paid me extra to get me more clippers. And he said, I want you to go invest and get you some better clippers and get you some trimmers. You know what? I cut hair quicker. My hand didn't burn because I had these old hot, cheap clippers in my hand. When you get flooded with resources, the resources that you need, and revival hits your house, you can get more done quicker and faster in the name of Jesus. Anybody believe that in here? I don't know about you, but I got a whole lot of dreams. I got a plan for this block that we own. Y'all drive up and you see this ramp, but just keep coming. I know it's been a few years. I see a whole community develop, and I see God sending revival of what this place should look like, and you should have a vision of what your life and your community should look like. Nothing is a kingdom. A kingdom is moved by faith. Do you know what worry is? Worry is perverted faith. Worry manifests what the enemy is threatening you with. Faith manifests what God promised in your life. The enemy is telling you you're going to die early. He's telling you your life is going to fall apart. And have you not noticed when you start to think about, I don't know about you, but he's told me you're going to die early. And then my chest start hurting. Look, my fingers start tingling. Like I start having all these kind of things going on because he'll mess with your mind and you'll start worrying about it. I'm not telling you nothing is wrong, but I'm telling you this, worry ain't going to solve it. But if something is wrong, faith in God says, I need revival to hit my house so that I can serve you better in the name of Jesus. Then every kingdom requires giving. I cannot tell you how big it is to give. When you give, you flood heaven into the earth. When you give, you unlock something from your future and you release it into your present. I want to challenge you guys to give. Give, give. I'm not just saying this because I pastor a church, but give in your community. Give to your children. I am a blessed man today because I didn't have selfish parents and I didn't have a selfish church and I didn't have selfish people around me. I had people who afforded me the opportunity, who worked hard so that people just like me can stand up here and preach today. Do you not know that the future is in your hand and God wants you to invest in your community and the people around you? There was this great ministry around the corner from us, Renewed Life. They work because somebody sows into them, and they're able to see young men who have had all kind of addictions and strongholds come through a program for a year, pay off their debt, pay off certain things, and go back to their families better. Why? Because somebody invests in them. Do you not know that God is raising you up to do the same thing? I believe in God by faith and here in the name of Jesus. He's raising up people to pay off tuition in here. He's raising up people, I'm serious, to start up businesses. I believe in God in here. Somebody here is on your heart right now, and you're going to find you a teacher and say, what does your class need? Everybody need iPads. All the teachers in the room got real anointed right there. Say, y'all all need MacBooks? You're going to have the only class in the school with iMacs just sitting there on the desk. Why? Because somebody believes in your vision. Here's the next thing about economic revival. You go to my next slide here. Don't chase resources. Seek the source. It said the Father knows what we need, so we shouldn't lead with our need. Most of us, a lot of us lead with our need instead of by faith. If you applied for a job and they have a job description, nowhere in that job description does it say, we're looking for somebody to hire because you're in debt, you're broke, and you need more money. But most of us look because we broke, we in debt, and we need more money. They hire people to get a job done. And when you can produce, resources show up in your life. I want to tell you, God knows your need, but work on your craft so that you become the best at what you do and you build the community and things around you. When you understand this, you are not a paper chaser. You are not an opportunity chaser. There's a difference between being a mover and shaker and somebody who's just running after opportunity. You'll compromise your soul just to get in the door if you don't understand what God has for you, it is for you. When you understand what God has for you, it is for you. You don't have to sell your soul, advertise your body. You can be the smartest person there is. Why? Because I am gifted. The world system. They're chasing provision. because they operate off the principle of scarcity. And it's a poverty mentality. And can I explain this to you? There's a difference between poverty and being poor. Poor says, I don't have enough. Poverty says, there is not enough. Poor is a status. Poverty is a mentality. When you have a poverty mentality, you'll rob from somebody instead of getting it yourself. When you are poor, you're saying, I don't have enough yet. Even the ATM machine recognizes the difference. There's a minimum $10 withdrawal. Ask me how I know. I went to the ATM one day and said, insufficient funds. And I had $7.58 of my own money and could not get it out the bank. It didn't tell me I was broke. It didn't tell me I was in poverty. It said I didn't have enough. All poor says is, I don't have enough, but I know who does. Help is on the way. And I said, God, I'm broke. And he said, never say that again. Can a broke cup handle water? Can a broken heart handle love? He said, broke can't handle nothing. Just say, I don't have enough, but it's on the way because God is my source. Watch this. And when you understand that, you move from treating God like a transaction to being in relationship with him. I talked to you a minute ago about student loan. I believe in God to pay off student loans in my life because I need to get that burden off of me. But here's the reality. One day I was sitting there. I said, God, help us to pay this off. You know what we want to do. You know what we're called to do. I said, you know what we need. And he said, Jason, when you get through with your student loans, he said, will you treat me like Sally Mae? I said, what do you mean? He said, when you get through with Sally, will you ever talk to her again? I said, absolutely not. I'm burning every letter she ever sent me. I'm subscribing from every email she ever sent. I may find the headquarters and just drive all the way there and just wave and say, you'll never see me again. He said, exactly. He said, that is the way people treat me. They come to me just to get what they need and they disappear until they're in another mess. He said, I am your source. I will give you anything. I know what you're going through. I want to use you. He said, you don't owe me a thing. He said, I want you to walk out your life's purpose, but I don't want you to treat me like I'm a transaction. And I'm concerned that many of us treat God like he's a transaction. When we need something, God, I need you. But when things are good, we kind of pull back. I don't know about you, but I've been living long enough to know that I need him every single day of my life. I need him in the high moments. I need him in the low moments. There is so much more to God that we've never experienced. And God says this, don't chase resources. Seek the source and you'll never be without. You got to come to the source with vision and revelation and watch what God does. The last point I'm going to make is this. You got to make room. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. I was sitting in church and the Lord began to speak this to me. He said, Jason, make room. I said, is that my next sermon series? He said, make room. I said, what are you saying, God? He said, make room. And when I got to the end of studying for the sermon, he said, Jason, you pray based off your current situation. And when you have a poverty mentality, you just pray to get out of where you are. He said, I want to give you what you need, not what you want and what you can afford. Most of us limit our dreams to what we want in a carnal sense and what we can afford. If you have kids in here, you know they have asked you for things that you know they didn't need because they didn't understand what it was. And you let them get it. Isaiah asked for this pair of white shoes. They won't sell. I said, you don't want these shoes. They're hard to clean. They're going to be dirty in a week. I got to have these shoes. I'll never ask you for another pair of shoes again in my life. You just give me this shoe. We sitting there, and because he got good negotiation skills, we got them with his money. A week later, we going, look, Daddy, my shoes are dirty. You don't say. We go into every little stand, spraying that little stuff on him, little cleaner on him. He spent more in cleaner than he has in the shoes. I let him experience what it felt like to get something that he did not need instead of waiting for what he wanted. Can I tell you something? God Almighty, the shoes that he actually wanted went on sale a few weeks later, and we walked in the store, and he said, Daddy, I should have waited. There is an amazing things that will happen when you learn how to pray based off what God says and not what you want. What you want is limited based off your experience. But when you seek the kingdom, God said, I want you to make room for what you want. Not any Bible readers in the room. I remember a guy by the name of Abraham had a wife named Sarah. They just wanted a child. God, just give us a child. It didn't work, so they produced Ishmael, a good idea, but not a God idea. And God said this, I'm going to give you Isaac, but they were praying for a son, and God wanted to give them a nation. Could it be that you praying to get out of debt and God trying to put you in business? Could it be that God just send a man, just send a woman in my life, and you just praying for somebody to show up and God trying to send you the best thing that ever happened in your life? It is amazing how we compromise our purpose for because of our experience. Oh, you got great hopes for your children. Oh, they coming through school and they doing good, and all of a sudden they start doing weird stuff, start drinking glue and just start doing crazy stuff. They can't pass math. And my baby going to be a doctor. My baby going to own a business. Then he don't pass math. And he said, Lord, just let him graduate high school. He get the fighting and doing all kind of crazy stuff. Lord, just don't let him kill himself. You went from him being a doctor and a business owner, and because of his experience, you start speaking something else. I want you to make room for what God said, not what you see. When you make room for what God says, he says, heaven is now ready to flood you with resources. I'm talking to somebody in here, and you've been talking about what you're seeing, but I want you to know that all God has is not all that you see. Don't you settle for what's available. Wait on God's best. I got some Bible readings in here. Y'all remember the disciples had 5,000 men and their women and their wives and children. 5,000 people, and Jesus been preaching, and they hungry. You ever seen people when they hungry? Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't you when you hungry. Oh, people get upset. People get to talking crazy. You can tell when people get hungry. Your breath get to tasting funny. You get to looking at everybody strange. Don't talk to me. Some of y'all look straight ahead. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And can you imagine a crowd of 5,000 looking at them? Jesus, you're doing all this preaching. They hungry. Where are you going to send them? Uncle Bud's ain't open. They'll eat out the buffet. Golden Corral is shutting down everywhere, every corner. We ain't got nothing but two fish and five loaves of bread. They're trying to get through the moment. Bible readers, go read your Bible. At the end of that story, it said something that blows my mind. It said they were all satisfied. You trying to survive and God trying to have you satisfied and overcome. How you satisfy 5,000 people? Some of y'all got five in the house and one meal don't make everybody happy. What you mean? You fried the chicken? We need to bake the chicken. I don't like my macaroni and cheese cooked like that. All kind of stuff going on. And he satisfied 5,000. Your experience will limit your ask of God. God began to speak to me about this church. He said, there's some people in here who got the two fish and five loaves, but tell them I want them to dream bigger than this. Can you imagine? I gave you guys this example. I'm talking about kingdom people. Somebody said, I want to start a cab company, but I don't have the money to go buy cars. So let me think of an idea. So they got so ingenious that said, I don't have the money to go buy cars. Let me start a business where you use your car, your gas, your insurance, and I'm going to make it be a certain standard, and I'm going to get a percentage because you're going to drive for me, and they sitting behind the computer. Two fish and five loaves that became much. Somebody said, it's called Uber and Lyft. Somebody said, I want to own a hotel, but I don't have the money of Hilton. I don't have the money of Marriott. What can I do? I know some people that got extra rooms in their house. I know some people that can go down the street and sleep with their cousin at their house and rent their house out for a week, and I'm going to make a percentage off what they rent. It's called Airbnb. Somebody said, my son been riding these scooters. I've been seeing all him and the little bad neighborhood kids. You know, I've seen them kids just leave their bike in your yard and they live three houses down. Like, would you just get tired and quit? Somebody said, I'm going to take these scooters. And you go downtown. And they got granddaddies on scooters. They got mamas on scooters. They got everybody just riding these scooters. And they ain't regular. You can't just pick them up. They got a little card on them that you slide. Somebody said, I can make room and make resources off of this. Imagine that idea that God gives you to flood the kingdom. Can you go to my next slide? God began to speak to me about this church. We were at this church in Memphis called Life Church, and a phenomenal conference, and it was a leadership conference. And before I went, I got this nice box at the door. I started not to open it because they don't ever have my name on them, but this one had my name on it. And it said, Jason Scales Life Church. And I said, what is this? This nice gift wrap box, and it had a bottle of water and just peanuts and stuff. And I said, that's a whole lot of wrapping for some water and peanuts. But that wasn't the point. I got to my hotel in Memphis, and there was a gift card and a card there waiting on me. Thank you. I hope your stay is great. I got a text when what time will you arrive at church? We'll be waiting on you. I got to church, and there was these people just walking around everywhere. They were greeting us, asking us questions about the ministry we led, asking us about what we did. And they took us in this room, and you see this screen. there were hundreds of people just walking around. And I finally asked, I said, who are these people? They said, they're in a life leadership program. I said, what do they do? He said, these are people who potentially want to be in ministry. These are people who want to serve. And we have an extensive training program that are part of. And everything you experienced was a part of that. And I said, y'all got hundreds of people waiting to serve and to be hired at ministry? And I said, man, if you can do that in Memphis. I am believing you that you can send the resources to Christiana. That we can hire people at this church and rival with Apple and Google and all these people play and raise up an army that wants to do stuff for the kingdom. He said, show you're right. You're on the right path. He said, make room for it. Go to the next slide. There's a church in Chattanooga. It's called Redemption to the Nations Church. I'm going to tell you something. It's crazy. I went to school at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. The pastor went to Lee College. His name is Kevin Wallace. I remember going to school. He was there. We would raise up as preachers at the same time. There's a church in inner city Chattanooga called Highland Park. Some of you may remember that. It had a vision for inner city ministry. They had a school there. They had a college, a humongous campus. And all that God did, he bussed in kids from everywhere. And they went through their school. They went to church there. They did vacation Bible school, all these things. He had a vision for that inner city ministry. He died. A new pastor came on. He didn't have a vision for inner city ministry. The opportunity came up for Kevin Wallace to buy this church. He did not have the size and membership to do that. He had to go in and completely renovate it. The buildings were run down. He had a campaign. He had vision. He had a campaign, and I saw a clip online, and he told us about it when we were there. They were raising money because they didn't believe God would be in debt. They were going to pay it off and renovate it. In one service, there was something that happened, and they got a $1 million donation that caused them to help them pay off that facility and help renovate it so that they can move now and start opening the college and the high school. All he had was vision. I was curious and wondered, who would just send you $1 million? Granted, you got vision, but all of us have vision. I heard the story that he said that when he was younger, he led this young man to Christ who his parents could not do a thing for him. He was rebelling. He was doing all these things. He led this young man to the Lord. And his father, years later, heard about what he was doing. Owned one of the biggest companies in that area and said, I believe in your vision so much. I want to make sure that what happened for my son happens for somebody else. Can I tell you that God, if you just have vision, God will raise people up to help you. Watch this. Some of you are like me and you got a lot of vision and little resources. But some of you on the other side, God has raised you up as a resource hub. And I'm praying over your life that God gives you vision beyond what you ever imagined. Some of you say, I don't want no credit. I don't want none of these things like this. But God is raising you up to tell you exactly. Somebody, God has spoken here on how to change the economy in an area. I don't know who I'm talking to in here. But as you follow the strategy God has given you, the economy of a, y'all praying for a house to be paid off. Somebody in here is praying for a city that through you, nations will be blessed. I don't know how it's going to happen. All I'm going to tell you is this, that if you stay on the path that God has you, countless hundreds and thousands of people are going to see their life turned around because of what God is doing through you. I hope that while I was preaching today, I woke up something inside of you, because some of you're concerned about paying for electric and rent. I pray that for a moment, all your worries were put to the side and you start dreaming. Because when you get vision, you'll see God doing phenomenal things in your life. You're trying to get through school, but God already sees your career. You're trying to believe God just for this, and God sees the end from the beginning. Can I tell you the economic revival is about to hit this land? I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. Matter of fact, I'm really not concerned. All I know is that God is raising up kingdom citizens to do phenomenal things in the earth. Can you stand to your feet all over the building? I want you to make room. If it's wrong thinking, if it's bad habits, some of you may be straddled with debt. You may not trust people. Today is the day that God wants to show you your purpose so you can change. I'm talking to some dreamers in here who said, I dream further, but I'm stuck in a hole. I need your grace and mercy to get me out of this place. Some of you in a position of making decisions. I want to speak prophetically in your life that it's time to make room. that's bigger than what you ever imagined. Let God flood your life with resources. You guys can start singing that, but I want every dreamer in the room, every person that knows that you, God wants to use you in a way, but you got obstacles in your way that are stopping you from moving forward, or you want things to fall in line so that you can touch nations. I want you to do me a favor. Slip your hand up in this place. Revival is about to hit your house. Some of you are saying, God, I just need time so I can spend it with my kids. I just need a break because my heart is so heavy. I can't even enjoy the day because of sorrow and all of these things. God said, revival is about to hit your house. He's about to supply your life with his resources. Father, we thank you. We're about to make room. Make room for whatever you want to do in our life. Move in a very incredible way in the name of Jesus. Father, we're getting ready to start dreaming and writing, and some of us are going to start moving forward in a way that you never imagined. God's about to do the incredible. Watch me. He says, watch me and see me do the impossible that you thought you could never do. Do me a favor. If you're in this place and you live in Shelbyville, lift your hands. Father, we pray for the city of Shelbyville and the surrounding areas. I pray that you break the back of poverty through your people. I pray that you break racism. You break every yoke. I pray that you break the drug opioid crisis. I pray all these things, cycles of just defeat and poverty, break them through us. Give us connection so that we are heard in the name of Jesus. If you're from the Rutherford or Davidson County area, lift your hands. Father, send revival through us. Do it in a way that people never imagined possible. Pray for dreams. I pray for vision. I pray for ideas. Do it now in the name of Jesus. Father, we are your people. We make room for you now in the name of Jesus. Come on, as they minister that song, I want you to talk to God for a moment. If it takes your place.